So Mark chapter 7. You know, Jesus gets here in Mark chapter 7, you know, and if you've been here for a while, you're starting to get the theme of what's going on in Mark. It's about the kingdom of God. And Jesus is trying to teach people what the kingdom is. So we get in Mark chapter 7, and Jesus is, he's been doing all kinds of stuff. He's been healing, he's been casting out devils, he's doing all kinds of things. Went to his own hometown, and well, they hadn't received him. But he gets here as he's teaching, and he gets to Jerusalem, and the Pharisees come to him, and they are condemning him and his especially his disciples, because they're eating with unwashing hands. That's what they're calling it. That they're trying to eat, that the disciples have been eating with unwashed hands. And they ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples do that? Haven't you taught them any better than this?" And Jesus gets to a point, and he wants them, and he's trying to teach them something, that it's not about how you've cleaned the outside, but it's about what's on the inside. It's what's coming out is what makes a person defiled. Not how they wash their hands, how often they wash their hands, or anything like that. So we have Jesus trying to help them understand this. They're not getting it. But he wants his disciples to understand this. And we are supposed to be his disciples. So that's what our message is going to be about this morning, is what is it in our world that just makes it seem so upside down, the opposite of the way that it should be? So we're going to talk about that, and hopefully my technology will begin to work here real soon. It's struggling. So anyway, will you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for the message that you've given. I pray that you will just help us to understand what you want us to gain from this. Help us to see how we're really supposed to operate in this world. Because we see, Lord, it's a mess. We see that the way that the world teaches us is the opposite of the way that you want us to live. And we just ask that you would just guide us in these things, that you would help us to understand how do we apply the teachings of your word and what you gave to your disciples to our current life. Lord, would you help us in this? Would you help us to gain that understanding? And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so look with me real quick down in verse 6. Jesus has all these Pharisees and certain of the scribes there. And they said, in verse 5, they said, "Why do you eat with the unwashing hands?" And look what he says in verse 6. He says, "And he answered them and said, Well hath Isaiah prophesied unto you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many such things as you do." And Jesus goes on and he gives them some other examples. But I want you to look at that, what it says about Isaiah. It says that they honor God with their lips. They give him lip service, but with their lives, not so much. Do you see that in American Christianity? You go talk to people left and right, they honor God with their lips. Oh yeah, I believe that there is a God. But with their life, they serve something totally different. They serve something else. Usually it's whatever they feel is more convenient for them. And what does the world teach? They teach for the commandments. They'll teach, and they do this all the time. You send your children to school. They are teaching the commandments of men. You know why they wanted the Ten Commandments taken out of school? Because they go against the commandments of God. They go against their commandments that they want to teach. They want to teach children something else. But if the Ten Commandments are up there, it's going to teach them the opposite. Because what harm would it be to tell your kids, well, you don't need to lie. You don't bear false witness against your neighbor. You don't covet their things. You definitely don't murder them. You realize that we really didn't have problems with murders in schools until they took the Ten Commandments out. That one of them says, thou shalt not kill. Just some things to think about. Why would they do that? Because they began teaching different commandments. Not that they purposely taught that they should kill. But when you devalue human life, you are saying that one person is less important than another. What did Jesus say? If you have hated your brother without a cause, you have committed murder. And that's basically what they've done. They have taught our society hate. And what do we hear all the time? Those are hate crimes. Those are hate crimes. You know, we didn't really have this thing called hate crimes until the Ten Commandments got taken out of our society. When they didn't want to hear about it anymore. But God's commandments will always stand. But we, as followers of God, we've got to recognize something. We live in an upside-down world. And this isn't the first time it's been this way. That's how Satan wants it. You know, there's kind of a cult that's growing out there that's called As Above, So Below. I don't know if you've heard reference to that. It's all over the place, and you don't even know it. It's everywhere. And what is it doing? It's Satan trying to conform this world into what he wants, into his image. Remember the scriptures that Paul talked about? That we're not fighting against people, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and powers of the air, against forces of evil and darkness. That's what we're up against. You know, when I was in the military, they would often tell us about our enemy. And we would read the history about how we had to deal with the enemy in the past so that we know how to deal with the enemy in the future. Well, God gave us a good reference to that. He showed us how to know. He gave us his book. How did God deal with the enemy in the past? Well, that's going to let you know how to deal with your enemy in the future. It's the same enemy. His name is Satan. He's the devil. He hates you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to bring you down to the depths of hell. You're in the battle for your soul. Do you understand what you're up against? And we live in a system of his. You read about it in the book of Revelation. It's the beast system. The Antichrist system that he has been setting up from the beginning of time, working his way, preparing for the evil day. And he's got a bunch of evil days prepared for you. And he's got a plan. And he's even got a bigger day planned, where one day society will attack God's saints. Do you realize if you lived in another country that you may die for your faith? Do you realize that in the United States, we are not exempt from what may happen in the future? And we need to be prepared. We need to understand what this world is about, and we need to fight the way God wants us to. Not the way man tells us to, but the way God tells us to. And we have to understand the system that we live in is upside down. Does it have to be that way? It doesn't have to be that way. But it will be if Christians do not stand for what's right. If they fall for the bait of the devil, if they fall for what Satan has offered, the sin for a season, you will be a part of that problem rather than a warrior against it. Would you look with me in Isaiah chapter 29? Isaiah chapter 29. Look with me in verse 16 there. It says, "Surely the turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding?" Do you realize what this verse is saying? This verse is saying that our culture is going to teach us how God should be. Rather than looking to the Scriptures and saying, the Scriptures tells me that God is like this. But what people want to do is that they want to conform God unto their image rather than be conformed into the image of God. Let me give you some history. You were made in the image of God. And when you're born again, when your life is changed, when you've given your soul over to Jesus Christ, the Scripture says that you are now to be conformed into the image of Christ. You're not supposed to try to conform Christ into the image of your ungodly, sinful self. If you weren't good enough to save your soul, why do you think that you should conform God into the image of something that is unsaved? Does that make sense? Why would we want to do that? I'll tell you why. Because many who try to do that, they are unsaved people. And they want God to accept them for who they are. We even will hear it in our songs. Let me tell you something about yourself. You're wicked. There's nothing good that you could do. The Scripture tells us that. That in you, there is nothing righteous. In any of us, there's none righteous. No, not one. The best that we can do, the Scripture will say, is as an unclean thing. It's worthy for one thing, to be burned. It's not even good enough for the trash can. It must be burned and disposed of. It's like a disease. What would you do if you knew this rag had, I don't know, what's the worst thing you can think of? Like here lately, it's like the measles or the mumps or something that's coming back. What if you knew that the person who had that blew their nose on it? Would you say, I'm gonna put it in my trash can? No, you'd say, I'm going to burn it. What about the house that person lived in? You want to go move to that house? No. Because you're like, I don't want that. That's how good we are. And God says, if your good works isn't good enough, something has to change. That's why Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. Because you're not good enough. It's only because of His shedding of His blood that you could be saved. So if you can only be saved by His blood, by the washing of regeneration from Him, why say, God, you must accept my sinful lifestyle? If it goes against His Word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. We're going to be judged according to His Word. And you think, oh God, you must accept my sinful lifestyle. That's not the way God works. The psalmist would say it like this, they fear not the Lord because they have no changes. You must be changed. You must repent of your sins and you must be born again. But our world does not want to do that. Our world wants to turn it upside down and say, God, you must repent. You must change to accept me for who I am. You know, I read a statistic this morning. In fact, let me just read this to you. It's from a Barna study. Some of you might actually get mad at me for reading this, or maybe even for saying it. But I just want to show you how upside down this world is. In 2017, GLAAD, formerly Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, released their third annual Accelerating Acceptance Report, also showing 2016 numbers, claiming that 20% of millennials, 18 to 36-year-olds, respondents say they are LGBTQ. Another report within the same year found 35% of millennials identified as not being exclusively heterosexual. The same report revealed 52% of Generation Z, ages 13 to 20-year-olds, identified as not being exclusively heterosexual. I'm not preaching against homosexuality this morning, but I just want to ask you something. What do you think about God? God, did you make a mistake? Did you say you messed up when you made me a male? God, you messed up when you made me a female. God, you messed up when you told Adam that he should cleave to his wife. God, did you mess up? Or are we trying to conform God into the image somebody has taught those generations something upside down? Because it wasn't like that in the 1800s. Why? Because people lived according to the Scriptures a lot closer than what they do today. They've gone away from it. And you think God will not judge a nation that turns from it? Children used to, in this country, they used to have value. And they believed the passage that said, "Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of it." We got a family in the back, they believe in that. They believe in a quiver full. But we begin to teach something different. And now we're saying it's okay to have an abortion. Get rid of that. It's not even a baby. Do you see how upside down it is? That we went from a nation that valued life. Do you remember our Declaration of Independence? That we have the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That's in our declaration. But now, several states have voted death. And they have chosen death. Do you see how upside down the world is? Do you see how upside down our country is? Do you know where it came from? It came from a separation of the Scriptures from the lives of people who call themselves Christians. That's where it started. It's upside down. Isaiah said they've turned it upside down. They teach the doctrines and the commandments of men over the doctrines and the commandments of God. Judgment Day is coming. Judgment Day is coming for you. Judgment Day is coming for me. And you will stand before Almighty God, the one who had these words breathed into life in this book. And you're going to be judged by it. And we got to recognize the fact that we live in a beast society. And our government works for the beast. You might not want to say that, but let me tell you, it's true. And you've got to recognize that we are against the forces of darkness as a Christian. And we need to know what God says. How do we deal with it? In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, the Scripture would say, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I'm telling you, a society that does that is working for the beast. You know who the beast is? The devil. And that's what we've seen. It's upside down. It doesn't make any sense. You try to make sense of it in your mind. It doesn't make sense. It never will make sense. And there's a reason for it. It's upside down. It doesn't make any sense. That's not the way God designed it. That's not the way He created it. Let me tell you, the one who designed your DNA is able of making sure that you were put together correctly. And that you shouldn't tell God, no, I'm not who you really made me. And keep telling yourself or letting other people tell you that until your mind is changed or manipulated. God designed you correctly. He doesn't make mistakes. Psalms 139 will say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I have designed women a certain way. I have designed men a certain way. They both have their own unique talents and attributes. That's okay for them to be different. But they need each other. Children need them to need each other. And He designed it that way. It's all in the Scripture. You see it on all kinds of pages. We have elevated tradition, and it's upside down. We've elevated culture, and it's upside down. You know, we just recently had a war of culture in the Christian world. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Methodist. I don't know if you've ever studied Charles and John Wesley, the founders of the Methodist movement. Man, those guys, they were solid. They were okay. You would enjoy their preaching. I'm sure they were much better than I am. They were solid guys. Yet a few generations removed from their teaching, and you have a denomination that's at war with itself. And the American side of the Methodists chose the upside down life. And the ones over in Africa, you know, they're not manipulated with our system here. You know, it's obvious why Satan would want to bring us down. America was number one in sending missionaries to the foreign field. America was number one in giving to the poor countries of the world. Yeah, we've had our flaws, but God had blessed us. And Christians in this country that were blessed were good givers. They're still good givers. But there's been a rapid change over the past. Over the past 30 years, where those who call themselves Christians started telling God, you've got to accept my upside-down lifestyle, rather than letting God conform them into His image. And there was a war within the Methodist denomination. And you know which ones won? The ones over in Africa, because they held to the standard of the Scripture, and there was more of them than there was in the United States. Does that start making sense? That the ones who hold firm to the Scriptures will become stronger. God will support them. God will elevate them. He will bring them up. And the ones who turn from His Scripture, from His Scriptures and from His standards and His way, He will begin to purge them out of existence. Romans chapter 1 says that He will allow them to go into their own depraved state of mind because they will not honor the God who created them. Hey, we live in an upside down world. This world wants us to look good on the outside. The politically correct. I realize I'm probably not very politically correct this morning. You know, I'm more concerned about the correctness of the Scriptures than I am the correctness of my culture. Because my culture has changed from what it used to be. George Washington wouldn't set foot in most of the churches of America today because they don't preach God's holy word. The people don't live according to righteousness. the founders of our country, would not like what they see going on. But where they would like to see is those churches standing firm on God's promises, sticking to the book, listening to what God says, and applying it to their lives. That's where they would want to be. I understand. There's not supposed to be Christians on every corner. God told us that there's only going to be a remnant, especially in the last days. A remnant. I want to make sure that I'm a remnant person. Are you? Because God's going to judge. And this is the way I want Him to judge me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Don't you like those words? Well done. But there's going to be another set of people that they're going to say, "But Lord, Lord, didn't we try?" And He's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You tried to conform me to your image when you should have allowed yourself to be, should have been repentant. And you should have turned from your wicked ways, and you should have allowed my Holy Spirit to conform you." Isaiah would say, "How can the potter say unto the potter, why have you made me thus?" That's what we have done to our Creator. And that's upside down. Look in verse 9 of Isaiah 29. It says, "Stay yourselves in wonder and cry ye out, and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." What do you think He's talking about? He's talking about the things that we have been taught that make us tipsy. You want me to give you an example? Our House Republicans this week, our House representatives in Congress, they couldn't even vote against someone's hate speech of their own, what they said this week. They couldn't even do it. They tried to gloss it over. They couldn't even condemn. What is this? On one side, just a few years ago, they would. Now they won't. I'm not trying to be political. I just want you to see an example of how upside down things can get quickly. They're staggering. They're drunk on something, but it's not wine. It's the things in their mind. They know so much about things that aren't so. They've made it up. They've changed for the doctrines of God. They've exchanged the doctrines of God for doctrines of men and their traditions and trying to conform the culture. Look in verse 10. It says, "For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and seers hath He covered." See, Isaiah says, "Man, what is going on? Are you guys asleep? Do you not see what's going on? Do you wonder why kids are out of control? Why do all of our children have to be on medicines for them to be able to sit still and to learn in the environments? Does that make sense? Did they have those medicines for you, Brother Bob? Yeah, you learned stuff, didn't you? He learned a whole bunch. And let me tell you, he's a mess. But now they tell you, you've got to pump, you've got to fill your children with this stuff. You see how it's mess, how they're changing the way that we think? Are we asleep? Do we not see what's really going on? What the war really is? You see, the devil wants to put us at odds with each other. He wants Democrats to fight Republicans. He wants blacks to fight whites. He wants whites to fight blacks. He wants citizens to be against the illegals. He's trying whatever he can do to get your attention off of the real problem. That he's trying to manipulate your life. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus would say he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of all the lies. Don't be asleep anymore. See what's going on. Open your eyes. What is really going on? I get it. This is a hard message. Because we live in an upside-down world, and we have to function in this society. This is how Jesus would say it. Yeah, you may have to live here, but you got to remember this. You don't belong here. You're a pilgrim in this world. Do like Abraham did. You're searching for a city that's made without hands. You know what that city is? New Jerusalem, heaven. The kids and I were singing about that heavenly place. Do you see the lights of glory? Or do you see the lust of your own life and desires? Is that what you want over heaven? Because this life doesn't last very long. It's just for a little while. You're a pilgrim here. Don't lose sight of your pilgrimage and think, oh, I belong here. If you are born again, you do not belong here. You have to live here. But your citizenship is in heaven. And you've got to keep that focus. And you've got to recognize the lies that Satan wants to put in front of us. How he wants to destroy people. Look with me in Mark chapter 7. Back in Mark chapter 7. In verse 20. And Jesus said, that which cometh out of a man, that defiles the man. What do you think he was talking about there? He's saying, what you are doing with your life. The things that you say. Sometimes on Sunday night, I have us sing these crazy songs. You know, back from our kid childhood days. Like, oh, be careful, little lies, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know, that y'all, some of y'all remember that song. That's what Jesus is talking about. What's coming out of you? He would say the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. What is that fruit? What does it look like? Look what Jesus says right here in verse 21. He says, For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Jesus says this in verse 23, these are evil things. All these evil things come from within. They are what defile a man. Those are the things that defile a person. It's not what you're touching or how clean you wash your skin, what kind of soap you use, antibacterial, but it's what's in the heart. It's what's affecting the mind. It's what you're doing with your life. Those are the things that defile a person, not how you wash your hands. You know what Jesus is saying? You could be baptized a million times and that wouldn't wash your sins away. Your sins can only be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture tells us. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have to recognize the sinfulness of life, and you've got to hate it, and you've got to call it what it is. Sin. And it's evil. I know we don't like to say those words in our society, do we? Oh, it's a mistake. Let me tell you, sin is sin. You could call it whatever you want, but if it fits one of those categories, Jesus says, these are evil things. and they have defiled you. They make you unclean. What do you do with that? You're like, oh man. Brother Mitch, some of those things represent me. What are you saying? What do I do? I hope that's what you're saying in your heart, if any of these things apply to you. Because this is what you need to do. You need to recognize that these are bad traditions, that it's a corrupt culture in your life, and you have turned it into a presumptuous preference for yourself. You need to recognize that. If you can't recognize that fact, then the rest that I tell you won't even matter. You've got to admit that there's a problem. That's what they would tell to someone who's an addict on drugs. You've got to recognize your problem first. If we have sin in our life, it's just like drugs. We're an addict. We have to recover from it. We have to get those out of our life. We have to call it what God calls it, sin. And God hates sin. It grosses Him out. Makes Him puke. It's fit for one thing, to be burned. We have transgressed His law. We have failed the commandment of Almighty God. We deserve the punishment for sin. It's death. Death in the fire. That's what we deserve. But God sent His only begotten Son. His name is Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that fiery death punishment that you deserve. I deserve. And God sent His Son so that we could be saved from it. Saved from my sin, so I don't have to commit these things anymore. I don't have to live a defiled life. He can cleanse me from it. He can bring me out of it. I have to allow Jesus to change my heart. I have to be truly born again. There has to be a change inside of me that recognizes that's evil, that's bad, and I want to accept Jesus Christ. He is holy. He is righteousness. And I want His righteousness to live through me, so that no longer will I be judged according to my sin, but I'll be judged according to Jesus Christ's righteousness, because His blood has covered my sins. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west. I've often said, this is one of my favorite verses in the scripture, Isaiah 43:25. God says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgression and will not remember thy sin. If you think it's a mistake and it's an accident, that's not what God's talking about. You've got to recognize it. Sin. He will not remember my sin. Wouldn't you want that applied to your life? He blots it out. He covers it. He makes you whole. He gives you a new chance, a clean slate. If you would truly be born again, renew that commitment to Jesus Christ. I bet most of you out there, you've heard a message very similar to this. And you might have said, man, I love that message about Jesus. I love the message about Him dying on the cross, but I just haven't lived quite right. When I was 5 years old, I made a commitment. I'm not worried about what happened in 5 years old. I want to know what happened between 5 and now. Have you lived in sin? Repent. Renew that commitment to Jesus Christ. Turn from that wicked way and follow righteousness and holiness. Live according to God's standard and not your own. That's what the Scripture wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. To be conformed to the image of God's Christ. Does it mean that you're going to be sinless? That's not what it means. But it does mean that you will sin less. because you want him. You don't want that anymore. He changes your mind about it. There's an old song that says, it's true that I could do whatever I want, but my wants have been changed. That I want him. I want his way of life. Those things that the Scripture talks about doesn't bother me anymore. I want that. How do you get there? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever really done that? Have you said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to make you Lord of my life. I'm tired of all these other things being Lord of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to serve you. I want to turn towards you. Confess with your mouth. I confess it with my mouth. My sin, my shame, my despicableness. And I want Jesus. You got to say it. You got to mean it. Believe it in your heart. You know, if you believe it in your heart, you'll live it. That's what you're going to do. All these other things, thefts, murders, covetousness, you do those things because they're in your heart. You want to do it. But if you want to live for Jesus, guess what else? That would be in your heart. And you would do it. And you would turn from these things. You can't be friends of both. One is of the world, one is of God. The friend of the world is enemy against God. Are you a friend of the world? Are you an enemy of God? Or you accepted Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want you to be my friend. I want you to save me. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Would you accept that? Turn from wickedness and the evils of our day. Be led by His Holy Spirit. Do like Paul would say in Romans. After you repent, rise and walk in the newness of life. You don't have to live in those sins. You don't have to live that way anymore. Reject from now on this upside down society and culture that we live in and live your life for Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, today's the day. Give your life back over to Jesus. Don't live in this way anymore. Don't live in this upside down world. Don't accept what they're preaching from wherever. Accept the teaching of Almighty God. As the pianist and the song leader come, I want to ask you something. Do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? The Scripture says that you can know. 1 John 5:13. He would say, these things write we unto you, that ye may know that you have everlasting life. You can know. Do you know today? Reject the upside downness of this world. Accept God. Because one day, everything that you see is going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. Jesus Christ is coming back. Can you look around and see the signs of the time? All the way from California to New York, our country looks like it's under judgment. How long do you think you're going to escape? It's just a matter of time before it comes home. My granddaddy always said, the chickens come home to roost. I've got some chickens in my backyard. You know what they do? Every night, they go and roost in the same spot. Our sins will find us out, and God has given us a space of time to repent. That's your life right now. That's all the time that you will ever have. After you die, you don't get a second chance. You get the second death. Eternal separation from Almighty God. It doesn't have to be that way. You can have everlasting life. And you can live with Jesus Christ. He'll make a king or a queen out of you. He'll make you one of the people who come back with him. Wouldn't you like, horses? You like white horses? When Jesus comes back, he's riding on a white horse, and all his saints are coming back with him. And you'll get to be part of that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that's what you've done in your life. If not, today's today. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know you're saved. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for Jesus and for him bringing out the point that we give God lip service, but with our life we deny his power, we deny his glory, we deny his holiness. Lord, would you wake us up from our slumber? Let us not walk in any more drunkenness of this world, but help us to be sober and to understand our times and understand what you're doing in our country and in the lives of your people. Lord, help us to repent of our sins and to turn from our wicked ways and to follow you with all of our being. Lord, that is our reasonable service. Would you guide us in these things? Would you give us that heart of understanding? Because this world has thrown so many things at us that it confuses us. Lord, we know that you're not the author of confusion, but we need help. We need your Spirit. Lord, would you allow your Spirit to move on your people this morning? If there's anybody here who doesn't know you, let this be the day that they are saved. Have mercy, dear Lord. Help our country to recognize our fate if we continue down this unrighteous path that we're on. Guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.